This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It's good, but ugly. This one is called Next Man on MUT Radio. And I think it actually speaks to what we are talking about, namhlanje, romance in a workplace with Mlambo, attorneys and associates. And Ms. Ntombi Mlambo herself is joining me today to speak about that as we focus on labor law this morning. Ms. Ntombi, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you back on MUT Radio.
Thank you, Awetu. Good morning to you and your listeners. And today I'm not flying solo again. I'm flying with my colleague, Othembela Madikizela.
Othembela is also on the other side. As usual, Othembela, thank you so much for joining us on MUT Radio. Siyabonga kakhulu.
Thank you so much for having us, and morning to your listeners.
Good morning. Man, this morning we're speaking about labor law, and in particular, something very interesting. Earlier on, it might be that it has affected one person or another in one way or another in the bayer romance in a workplace. It's something esibonayo, something eyenzakalayo. Take us through, man, to this topic and the importance of it. Let's start by you, Ms. Ntombi Mlambo. Thank you so much. Why this topic is precisely?
Okay, if I may just ask Othembela to just quickly introduce us, because this is actually a topic that flows on from last week's topic, and then I will break down what is skulumanga workplace romance. So Othembela, if you can just take us through.
Yes, so if your listeners and yourselves will remember that in the previous labor law topic, we were discussing workplace policies, and this is a topic that ties in to workplace topics. So on the last labor topic, we've discussed how policies are guidelines that are written and that set out practices and procedures of a particular organization or company. They also provide the employee with a guideline on what is expected of them in terms of their conduct, actions, and practices in their roles. So these policies are not legislated, as we discussed, but they do work alongside the law, and they are based on there being an agreement between the employer and the employee. But the policies are not permitted to take away the rights of an individual as contained in our legislation. But the policies are also based on the practices and procedures that a company must abide by from a legal perspective.
Okay.
So thank you so much for that introduction, Othembela. Sorry, yes. Awetu, you were.
Yes, yes. No, you can continue, Ms. Mlam.
Great stuff. So I'm just going to then unpack what is kulmangani when we talk about workplace romance. So we're basically referring to a romantic or sexual relationship that develops between two employees or between an employer and an employee within the same organization. You know, this is far more prevalent than what we can imagine. It's you know, as you said, it's an interesting topic, but one that's important to cover. So basically, these relationships can occur between peers, subordinates and supervisors, or even between individuals from different departments or even locations of the same company. So you'll see from what I've kind of touched on here that we've got different types. So we've got peer-to-peer, so it's between co-workers at the same level, hierarchical, which is between a supervisor and a subordinate, and sometimes even cross-departmental. So between employees in different areas or teams. Yes, that's what we're talking about today.
And is workplace romance legislated in the workplace and in South African law?
So our South African...
Oh yeah, no. OT will take over this one.
Sorry. So our South African labor laws don't explicitly address workplace relationships between two consenting adults. However, companies may have internal policies addressing workplace relationships, and employers can intervene if the relationship negatively impacts the workplace. So an employer can't expect to assert the right to act against the employer who they think are romantically linked or involved if they don't set out the rules regarding workplace relationships in the workplace in the first place. And this is why workplace policies are very important. So the workplace policies that regulate workplace romance either specifically prohibit workplace relationships, and this can be found in the Do Not Fraternize clause in an employment contract, or the employer can regulate how the relationship can take place if they allow them. So the implementation of principles and guidelines to govern are not always in standalone policies, but they can be incorporated in the existing policies where applicable, such as the policies that we spoke about last time, such as the harassment policy, a code of conduct policy, or a conflict of interest policy.
Mm. Okay. Sorry, and is there any case law that addresses a workplace romance?
So, I don't know if you guys know this. I'm going to read a case law, but okay. It was trending quite a while on Twitter. And this was a judge basically handing down a judgment where the employer was dismissed by the Rustenburg Platinum Mines for misconduct related to sexual harassment. So the judge in his judgment expressed the following view on workplace romances. He said that a workplace is exactly that and should not ordinarily be confused with a finding love sanctuary or lonely hearts club for lovesick employees.
Yes.
He agreed with the commissioner's observation that there's nothing wrong with employees being attracted to each other at the workplace. After all, we're all part of the Homo sapiens with feelings and emotions, and it is possible for the office affair to turn into a happily thereafter union. There is a school of thought that holds the view that human beings can be slaves to their urges. That being so, it does not imply that employees are incapable of controlling those urges in the workplace. A workplace should be free from amorous and testosterone-filled employees looking for love and gratification at every available opportunity. There is everything wrong with when employees express their affection in the workplace to each other to the point where the conduct in question is frowned upon and crosses that fine line between innocent attraction and sexual harassment.
Very important. I like that you mentioned that, Otembela, because now, so there's nothing wrong with actually having that relationship, but as long as it's not of a sexual conduct. Now, second, isn't this wrong, or like a sexual assault?
Yeah, definitely. There is, I think we are all human and these things do happen, but you can't make the people around you in the office feel uncomfortable, or now you're opening yourself up to sexual harassment claims, or just being inappropriate in the workspace.
And now, how can the employers regulate romantic relationships in the workplace?
So I'll take this question, if you don't mind, Oet. But just to kind of comment also on what Otembela was saying, yeah, so it doesn't seem to be some kind of law that prohibits it.
Yes.
However, it can be a very dangerous thing. So I would probably stay clear of engaging in such, but nonetheless, that's just me. There was
yes.
there was an Ugandan organization that came to, we presented to them at an event, and they basically told us where, you know, things like this, these relationships can go wrong. So for example, the guy and the girl were in a relationship, working in the same organization. The girl was married, and when things went south, the guy now started basically claiming ransom from her, because, and threatening to go and tell the husband about their sexual encounters. And this touched on the Films and Publications Act, I think it's called, where he now threatened to publicize pornographic material that they had taken together. So it can really go wrong, and it does then obviously impact the employer. So now, just moving into the guidelines, basically it's important, I would say, to include do not fraternize clauses in your employment contracts. It's important to provide procedures for disclosing relationships and to who. It's important to cater for the steps that are to be taken if there is a romantic relationship between a supervisor or a subordinate, or where one of the parties has influence over the other party. You can imagine there it's a power game. You can also define what type of conduct is expected in the workplace of employees or parties that are in a romantic relationship. You can provide for workplace policies that address workplace relationships, and also what happens, cater for what happens as a result of breach of that particular policy. So basically, employers will need to navigate these cases, each on its own merits, and decide on the appropriate disciplinary action or appropriate measure to correct such a breach. So obviously, in the example that I gave about the Ugandan organization, that's a disciplinary issue. But yeah, essentially, the employers will need to navigate each case on its own merits and take it from there.
Just a question from me, Ms. Mlambo. In a workplace, usually do we have these policies as the allied with a romantic relationships? Let's say our policies that cater for romance in a workplace. Do we have such in our organizations?
I would love to believe that there are, but I must tell you, in my entire profession, I've never seen them. However, you will find like aspects of such policies within other policies, like, for example, a code of conduct policy, et cetera, et cetera. But because of how prevalent it is in today's day, I do believe it's probably better to have a standalone policy governing romantic relationships in the workplace.
Mm. Here's another one now. Very interestingly, saying abanga e relationship ke manje, the issue of flirting in the workplace, is it wrong to flirt during working hours?
So flirting is not necessary. I think a lot of people, especially my boss here, will disagree with me, but it is not necessarily wrong, but it can be frowned upon. So it heavily depends on whether the flirting is mutual and consensual. So worldwide, we have this phenomenon called the work wife, work husband.
And
this
Definitely.
So this is a form of flirting that is mostly innocent and harmless. But this is only innocent and harmless if both parties consent to this and neither party feels that this is harassment.
And when does it come? When does it become harassment, Otembel?
So in terms of item 3 of the 1998 Code of Good Practice on Handling Sexual Harassment Cases in the Workplace, and it was amended in 2005, sexual harassment is defined as unwanted conduct of a sexual nature. This unwanted nature of sexual harassment distinguishes it from behavior that is welcomed and mutual. So if sexual attention, while sexual attention becomes sexual harassment, if the behavior is persistent and although a single incident of harassment can constitute sexual harassment, or the recipient has made it clear that the behavior is considered offensive so that they don't want it, and the perpetrator should have known that this behavior of theirs is unacceptable.
Mm. Interesting, and exactly that. But you said something there. You said Ms. Mlambo would disagree with you in terms of flirting. I'd love to hear her view on this one. Yeah, flirting in a workplace.
Yeah, look, I think you know. Yeah, what is flirting? Let's start there. You see, I think we define flirting differently as human beings by our very nature. So I think, yes, there may be that innocent banter, this banter kind of flirting, perhaps, where it's really we're not trying to do anything funny, you know, but there is that maybe flirting where there's kind of perhaps sexual sparks or, you know, attraction there. But also, I think the one thing that would make me have reservations in particular is especially if that flirting starts to also impact, you know, the employee's work or, you know, whoever the colleagues are and others as well within the organization, because it can be disturbing, some of it. So, yeah, I probably would slightly differ with my colleague here from that perspective.
All right. No, definitely. And those are exactly the good points that you are raising there, Mr. Mlambo. Can you now please provide us with some of the examples of sexual harassment, as you were saying, explaining there, Otembela, about sexual harassment?
So item 4 of that same code provides that any unwelcome physical, verbal, or non-verbal conduct, unwanted physical contact, unwelcomed innuendos, suggestions, hints, sexual advances, comments with sexual overtones, and sex-related jokes, those are some forms of sexual harassment. And non-verbal forms of sexual harassment include unwelcome gestures, indecent exposure, and the unwelcome display of sexually explicit pictures or objects. So some examples in the workplace are quid pro quo harassment occurs where the owner of the establishment or the employer, supervisor, or the manager or co-employee undertakes or attempts to influence the process of employment, promotions, trainings, discipline, dismissals, salary increments, or any other benefits of an employee or job applicant in exchange for sexual favors.
Mm. And what are the negative implications of...
Wait, we seem to have lost you there.
Sorry, Ms. Mlambo, yeah, I'm back. And now, what are the implications of workplace romance? Negative implications, that is.
Okay. So when this relationship that was once consensual comes to an end, it may create the possibility of a sexual harassment allegation. So the employer might also become liable in terms of Section 60 of the Employment Equity Act, as the section regulates the principle of vicarious liability, meaning that the party who feels wronged may want to hold the employer liable. And it may cause some disruption of the harmony, as my boss spoke there, that it can disrupt the harmony in the workplace. And it can create sexual favoritism, where the party or the person who is superior rewards only those who respond to their sexual advances, while other deserving employees who do not submit themselves to any sexual advances can be denied promotions, recognitions, or salary increases.
And I'd love to tie this question with the question that I'm receiving here from Uluake. Uluake Uti, if a relationship between a manager and their direct report starts off consensual but ends badly, what protects the existence of a subordinate, being the employee, especially in a retaliation if it's subtle or emotional? So basically, what protects the employee if but now it ends badly? Mm-hmm. Existence, you know, job security of the employee.
Yeah, if I may just grab this one, Otembele, and then please do jump in. So again, it depends what the organization has in terms of our policies, wakona, where workplace romance is concerned. And yeah, those policies typically, you'll remember what we mentioned earlier. Amanya wakona will dictate to guti and egwenzakalani in a situation where there's that kind of supervisor subordinate kind of relationship. And just to go back to that example that I gave, yes, Uganda, ultimately it becomes an HR issue. It's a labor issue that the Department of basically Human Capital or Human Resources now needs to step in at that point in time, should that now end. And now there's threats of perhaps job security, and you know, there's that kind of concern. So yeah, I'm sure my colleague will have something else also to add.
Sorry about that. So yes, Dombi is 100% right that it is a labor issue, but if the employee who did follow or they were allowed to have maybe a relationship in the workplace and they followed the guidelines that are in the organization, they can be protected in that way. Otherwise, if you don't follow the guidelines and you don't report, if the policy is to report if the policy is to report and you don't do that, then you will be disciplined if it is catered for in the policies.
Wow, yeah. No. One last question from Zintle. Zintle, Minu Zintle from a point in Gicela Ukubuza. Can a company get in trouble for banning relationships at work? Isn't that a bit too personal?
Yeah, again, please, Otembele, jump in. But as we touched on earlier, there is no hard and fast law that dictates this issue of workplace romance. Mm. So I would argue, devil's advocate, that no, that company wouldn't be in trouble. Mm. And I probably would be, and I'm going to put myself out there, one of those brave enough to say, as a company, we're not allowing workplace romance. Mm. But again, devil's advocate, I'm sure Otembele might come with a different...
Maybe Otembele has a different view on this. We might hear it for the first time here. Otembele?
So, a company can get into trouble for banning the workplace relationship. Well, the company can't necessarily get into trouble for banning the workplace relationship. But if they do allow the workplace relationship and they all of a sudden start to... if the policy regulates it, so it doesn't necessarily ban it, but it says, okay, if you do engage in one, this is what you must do. And then all of a sudden you want to change and create unreasonable or impossible rules regarding this relationship, and you want to now step into the shoes, or you want to get into bed with the couple, but you've allowed it and they're following this these steps and guidelines, this can be an invasion of privacy, because now you want to place yourself into their relationship, but you are allowing it and the couple is following your policies and rules. So in that way, I would think that, no, the company may be overstepping. If the couple must also follow the guidelines and the policies.
Yes. So it all depends on the policies of that institution or organization.
Yes.
Oh, no. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ms. Ntombi Mlambo. This was quite an interesting one. Seeing that it affects kakhulukazi abantu, and I saw abantu, they were interested in this one. But your words of conclusion before we let you go, let me start with you, Ms. Mlambo.
I lost you on my side there for 2 seconds.
I'm saying your words of conclusion before we let you go.
Okay. Yes, right. Look, I just want to reiterate that a company can have policies regulating workplace romance. And of course, those that work at that organization need to adhere to those policies. It's not to say that it's not necessarily at large prohibited in our country, but a company can have policies where that is concerned, which could prohibit having workplace romance, or it can have guidelines in terms of, you know, guiding how that kind of, workplace romance situation can be handled. Just be careful and make sure that you acquaint yourself with those policies, as with any other policy in the workplace. All policies are very important. I'd use those as my parting remarks.
Yes, no, thank you so much. And I think you answered this question now in my mind. If it just came now, if an organization does not have that policy, romance in a workplace, a problem starts with the organization, can it get involved? Because are my employees or aihlangani because into ababila ngene?
So if ever agna policy, in other words, what you're saying. So if I policy, let's again go back to that example that I had, and now all of a sudden it's interested, it's all about pear-shaped, it starts to impact the company one way or another, then the company must get involved. And also what Otembela touched on earlier, if it now becomes a sexual harassment issue, you're now breaching the Films and Publications Act, as you know, as per my example, then the company will get involved. It has to get involved.
Now, thank you so much, Ms. Mlambo. Siyabonga kakhulu. How do we get rich of Mlambo and Associates?
So we can be called on 010-502-0626. You can email us on info@mlambolegal.co.za. You can also check out our website at www.mlambolegal.co.za. We have a few social media pages. We have LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. And we can be found at Mlambo and Associates on all three pages.
We also have... Yes. Three branches, so Sikhona Thekwini, Sikhona Cape Town, Sikhona Goli. Yes, please do reach out.
No, siyabonga kakhulu, siyabonga kakhulu. Thank you so much, Ms. Mlambo. Thank you so much, Otembela, for organizing this. Siyabonga kakhulu. This was interesting.
Thank you so much,
Awetu. Thank you so much.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.